I want to turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. We may be in trouble tonight because I forgot my watch, and I've got Jane's phone. And I'm not used to these big, long telephones and stuff, and that thing's probably smarter than I am. She said I can mash a button, it'll tell me what time it is. So far, we're right. I want to look a little while tonight, if the good Lord permit us. I want to look at pride. I want to look a little bit at prayer. And I want to look a little bit at forgiveness, something I think that we need in our lives. Hear Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. He said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." And when we're talking about alms, we're talking about good deeds, doing things for other people, not just considering ourselves, thinking about others. Those things might be something, just a kind word, you know, a kind word can go a long way for somebody when they're really feeling down low. Can mean a whole lot to somebody when they're discouraged and downhearted. It also can mean helping somebody along the way, somebody who's a shut-in, doing things for others. You know, we're living in a day and time now, everything is just fast, hurry up. Back in my mom and daddy's time and stuff, somebody that grew up during the what they call the Great Depression and stuff, it was a different time for them. There was no reason to be in no rush because there wasn't anywhere to go. They didn't have any kind of money or anything to go on. They grew up in some hard times and they learned how to take time and to help one another. And I think that's one of the things that we are missing in our churches so much today and stuff, that we're not there to help like we should. But here Jesus speaking, he said, "Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." I want to look at this right here and stuff. He said, to be seen of men. He said, "Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." I want to remember that part right there about the reward, because we're going to look at that in just a little bit further down. He said, "Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Listen to what Jesus was saying again. These things were important to Jesus, because in the very beginning he said, what? He said, "Take heed." He said, "Pay attention, take notice." This was something that was important to Jesus. And he said, "Do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites," now listen, "do in the synagogues and in the streets." You know, I've said this before so many times. I think we read the Scripture, and while we're reading the Scripture, there'll be other things on our mind. And we really won't see what the Lord is telling us while we're reading God's Word. We need to try to get to a point in our life to set aside a time to read God's Word and to dwell in God's Word. Force everything else out of your mind. And listen, this is something to do right here when you're talking about doing that, because your mind's sort of an odd thing. I mean, it wants to sort of, if you're like me, when you're reading the Scripture or when you're trying to pray and stuff, your mind's wanting to run 100 different directions. I think a lot of time that's the flesh. I think a lot of time it's the devil. Because the devil don't want you spending no time in prayer. He sure don't want you spending no time reading and studying God's Word. But it's imperative, it's needful for God's people to read and study God's Word and spend time in prayer. But here Jesus said, "Do not sound a trumpet before thee." What was the old saying? He said, if nobody else will blow your horn, blow it yourself. Now, I'll give you a little example of that. This morning, I told Jane, she's wanting her kitchen redone. She's not sure where she wants her cabinets painted or stained. So I made a little cabinet door, and I let her pick out her stain and her paint, and I went over to the store yesterday, and I was going to mix the paint. Well, Carl's got a new machine over there that you can just mash a button. It'll mash the paint, whatever you're trying to match it up with. But he wouldn't give me a formula. So I told Carl, I said, what's the matter with this piece of junk you bought? He said, what's it doing? I said, won't give me a formula for a sampler. They make a little sample, Ken. It's about a pint. And that's all I wanted to buy to see what she wants to do. He said, well, Lee, is it a light color? I said, yeah. He said, well, sometimes a light color, it won't give you a formula for that small amount. He said, you might call the paint company. They might could do it. I said, I forgot about that. I said, I'll call them. Well, I couldn't get through. So I said, well, this is an old paint swatch. I'll go over there and get one of these new paint swatches close to it, and I'll get a formula. So I went over there and got one, mashed it. It wouldn't give me one. I said, Carl, you need to send this piece of junk back. He said, Lee, I done told you if it's a light color, it won't match a small sample. He said, you can't do it if the computer won't let you. Well, that made me mad. Because we too much computer-oriented today as it is tell me that I can't do something because the computer said I couldn't do it. I said, I've been mixing paint a long time. I said, watch me. So I mixed my paint, carried it up there. I had my little sample. I'd put some paint on it and blowed it dry. I said, you see any paint on that? He said, no. I said, well, don't tell me. I got to have a computer to do it. I said, I've been doing it a long time. And I told Jane when I told her that, I said, that's going to be on the lesson tonight, blowing your own horn. When you think you're so smart and you think you're so good, but now listen to me, truthfully, we have a problem with that. This old flesh by nature is that way. It likes somebody to brag on us. Now we do. We enjoy that being bragged on and stuff. But Jesus was teaching us something different here in the Scriptures. He's talking about helping other people. He's talking about doing something kind for other people. And he said, don't sound a trumpet. Now, I want you to listen to what the Scripture says. He said, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. He's talking about in the church house. He said, do not sound a trumpet. Listen to what he says. He said, in the synagogues, in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Now here, this is the second time that Jesus has mentioned reward in this, that he's telling the people. First of all, he said, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And now he's saying that these individuals that are sounding the trumpet before them, to have glory of men, they have their reward. Listen to what he says now. He said, but when thou doest thy alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. He's talking about even yourselves. He said, when you do something to help somebody else, don't even let yourself pay any attention to it. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Don't pay no attention to it. There's a reason for that. It's very important. It's important that we do what God would have us to do and tell us to do in the Scriptures. And not what we want to do for this old flesh. Paul said, and we talked about it before, Paul said, I keep my body under subjection. I bring it under subjection. What we do in this life and stuff, we have to keep this old flesh under subjection. If we don't, we're in trouble, people. I mean, we're in trouble in the church house. We're in trouble in the streets, as Jesus said, the synagogues in the streets. We're in trouble wherever we go. The Bible teaches us to keep this under subjection. He said that thine alms may be in secret. Now this, listen, I want to tell you something. I love God's Word. This is a word of truth right here. I've said it before, I'll say it again because it's important and it's the truth. This is the only truth that we have in this old world. This is the only truth that we have in this old world. These are the only promises. It's a book of promises as well as a book of truth. Listen to what God's Word said, and I love this. He said, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Listen to what the Scripture says. That thine alms or thy good deeds may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. That's a promise of God right there. If you do what I teach, if you do what I say, I guarantee and I promise you that I will reward thee openly. Now, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of times what happens to us, we look for maybe a different kind of reward. We may say, well, I'm not living in a big mansion. Or maybe I'm not driving a brand new car. Because sometimes we set our eyes on the wrong thing. Look at the rewards that we have tonight. We are sitting here in the church house instead of a hospital room with someone that we love, that the doctor has already told us they're at the point of death. We are sitting here in this church house instead of a funeral home with someone that we love. It doesn't look to me like there's anybody in this church house tonight that has missed a meal. Good Lord's fed us. We sit here with clothes on our back, and I believe when we leave here, we're going to have a home to go to. And I don't care, you can say this, you'll never convince me of it. Well, I work for that stuff, Brother Lee. That's part of life. That does not mean you're going to get it just because you work. You got nothing in this old world that belongs to you. Go to the graveyard and watch them when they bury people and see if they bury the houses and the cars with them. Or see if they left behind. We got nothing in this whole world that belongs to us. It all belongs to God, and everything that we have, God has blessed us and rewarded us with it. The Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. From above. It doesn't come out of this right here, this here pocket. It comes down from above because why? Because He loves us and cares for us and keeps us. And we're not worth keeping, people. We're not worth keeping. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for Lee. From one day to the next, I fall on my face every day that goes by. The Bible says here that the Father which seeth in secret, He shall reward thee openly. He is God. He's going to be God whether He rewards you or not. That's not going to change one thing in this old world. He's still going to be God. He's still going to be on the throne, people. Still going to be King of kings. Still going to be Lord of lords. It doesn't matter. But He takes the time to reach down in this old sinful world and pick His people up. And cleanse them and dust them off. And what does He cleanse you off with? He cleanses you off with the very blood that His Son shed on an old rugged cross. There is none like Him. There is none beside Him. Bible says, and when thou prayest, we're talking about prayer now. We've been talking a little bit about pride. It says, when thou prayest, Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites or the insincere are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now we're still looking here at rewards, and we're trying to decide what rewards are worth having. The rewards of men or the rewards of God? Being bragged on ain't going to last for nothing. And I promise you, I've had these spells where I think I was the smartest person in the world and turn around and walk into the wall. And you know why that kind of stuff happens to me? It is the good Lord reminding me, Lee, you ain't not as smart as you think you are. I believe that with all my heart. That the good Lord goes with us and the Holy Ghost cares for us and keeps us and guides and directs us. And when we need a good bashing, we get it. Jesus said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as a hypocrite, sir, for they love to stand here again in the synagogues of the church houses and in the corners of the streets, anywhere that they can be seen and heard. Let me read you some scripture out of Luke chapter 18. Verse 10. This is Jesus speaking again. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican or a tax collector. Listen to what God's Word said. He said, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He didn't say he prayed with God. He said he prayed with himself. He said, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Now he was bragging on himself. He even got so bold as to look across the room there at the publican and say, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like him. We have a lot of people that come to the altar on Sundays for prayer. When we see our brothers and sisters coming to the altar, it ought to touch our hearts. It ought to touch our hearts. Now, there are times when people come to the altar to thank God for His blessings upon them. But I believe that most of the time when someone comes to the altar, it's because of a burden that's on them. It's because of some kind of trouble that's troubling them. Some way that something is bothering them. And our first impression, our first thing in our mind is for us to get up and go to the altar and pray with them. We ought to have compassion on them. We ought to have a love for them. Get on our knees in the altar with them and pray to the Lord to bless them and to touch them and to help them. I can't help but think about Jesus on the cross. The Bible says He was beaten beyond recognition. Satan tried to kill Him before He ever got to the cross. And there He was on the cross looking down at the people that had nailed Him to the cross and was mocking and making fun of Him. And what did He pray? He said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Had compassion and love for them. And that's the way we ought to be for one another. That we ought to be willing to pray and get in the altar and talk to the Lord. But here the Pharisee, this is the religious man of the time now. Then he starts blowing his horn. We've talked about that. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And Jesus said in the publican, the sinner, standing afar off, wasn't even close. This is what the Bible says, he wasn't even close. I believe that he didn't even feel like he had a right to come to the altar. He was standing afar off. Would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. It's going back to what we talked about earlier when Jesus said, when thou doest thy alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Jesus was saying here, everyone that exalted himself, listen to what it says, exalted himself, lift yourself up, shall be abased. But he that humbled himself shall be exalted. But the Bible says, back in Matthew 6, in verse 6, he said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. One more time, the Scripture tells us here, Jesus speaking. He said, praying. He said, enter into your closet. I hope you've got a prayer closet at home. I hope you've got a place that you go to pray at home. A place you've set aside to spend time with the Lord in prayer. Because we've got another promise here. We've got another promise here. The Bible says, when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He said, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that shall be heard for their much speaking. Here Jesus talking about someone praying a long prayer, just continues, just keep going. And he's talking about vain repetitions, just saying the same thing over and over and over again. Now, he's not talking about praying the same thing. Because the Lord didn't teach us. We've got somebody that's got a burden in their life and they're troubled. And we need to pray for them. Well, I prayed for him last month. That's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us in the book of Hebrews that without faith it is impossible to please God. For we have to believe that He is God and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That is somebody that's continuously coming to the Lord. We continue praying one for another. We call one another's name in prayer over and over and over again. We don't know what the Lord's will is. Now, Jesus taught us that in the garden. He taught us there in the garden how that we ought to pray. Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. It was a bitter thing for Him. Because He was going to be taking on Himself our sins and the sins of the whole world. Him who knew no sin was going to be taking the sin upon Himself. He knew what was coming. And He prayed there in the garden. He said, Father, all things are possible unto Thee, if it be Thy will. Listen to what He said. He said, all things are possible if it be Thy will. We don't always get what we pray for. Because it has to be in the Lord's will. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It's important that we pray as Jesus taught us to pray. When we go to prayer for someone, we don't know where it's the Lord's will to heal and to make whole. There could be someone at the point of death, and we can pray, say, Lord, if it could be Your will, bring them through this. But we don't know what the Lord's will is. So we have to pray, Your will be done. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray. And Jesus is not talking about continuously praying here. He's talking about someone who's praying a long prayer just to be seen, just to be heard, wanting somebody to brag on him, wanting somebody to talk about it. He's really a big person in the church. That's not what the Scripture says, though. He said, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. He knows before you ever get on your knees to pray what you stand in need of. And He's going to be with you. If He doesn't answer the prayer the way He wants it to, it's like Paul said. Paul said, I had a thorn in the flesh. He said, I prayed to the Lord to take that thing away from me thrice. He said, He told me, He said, I'm not going to do it because my grace is sufficient for you. In times of distress, in times of trouble, I promise you'll find that His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. It'll be sufficient all the way to the end of the road. His grace will be there when He carries you home to the other side, people. His grace will be with you forever. Forever and ever. Because He said, I never leave thee nor forsake thee, but I go with you always, even to the end of the world. He's with us always, every step of the way. We may not be with Him every step of the way because we stumble and falter along this old road that we walk, you know. But I'm thankful that He said, I'll never leave nor forsake thee, Brother David, but I go with you always, even to the end of the world. We've talked about pride. We're looking at prayer. And here Jesus is fixing to teach what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now He was teaching us how to pray here. The form of prayer for us to pray. But I'm interested in verses 14 and 15, and I want you to listen to this. Now, we've looked at pride, we've been looking at prayer, now we're going to look a little bit at forgiveness. 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. But you listen to what the Scripture says. Now there was many things in the Scripture there as Jesus was teaching the disciples and the people around Him how to pray. There was many things He mentioned in the Scripture, but there was only one thing. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, thought important enough to go back to that prayer, and that was on forgiveness. And I want you to listen to what the Scripture says there. He said, if you forgive others, your Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you for your trespasses. I don't believe there's a person sitting in here tonight under the sound of my voice and say, well, I'm going to hold this grudge anyway, whether the Lord forgives me or not. I wouldn't even want that thought in my mind, people. Now, we are affected in different ways, and I know that we are, all of us. We're affected in our lives by different things that come upon us. The Bible says, talking about sin in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us cast aside every weight, that is more than one. And it said, and the sin. It didn't say sins. It said, the sin which does so easily beset us. I believe that Satan, when he knows what the weakness is in your life, he plays on that weakness off and on, all the time, all the time, all the time. Whatever that weakness is, that's what he hits you at, because he knows something else is not going to bother you. And so he just hammers on that one thing. That one thing. And I'm saying that so I can say this. I know that some people are more sensitive than others. And I know that we can do things to one another to really cause a lot of hurt. We can do it a lot of times without thinking, because, you know, we engage our mouth many times before our brain ever goes into gear. And we say things and we do things that are hurtful when we're mad. And sometimes some things are more hurtful than others. And it's hard to shake those things loose, because truth is, we just flesh. Now, I'm not making excuses. I'm just simply telling it like it is. We are flesh. We are hurt. And I don't seem to be able to get over this. But we have to forgive one another. We have to forgive one another. I mean, Jesus would not have brought this up if it was not that important. This is a simple fact that he was telling you. This is not an if proposition. This is a simple fact that says this. If you don't forgive others for their trespasses, neither will God forgive you for yours. Now that to me is something to really think about right there. Because I have more trespasses in one day than I care to even think about. Let's go a little further in the Scripture. Let's go to Matthew 18. Still looking a little bit of pride. Beginning with verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now, ain't that something? Now, we talk about the flesh, and we talk about man. And we're looking right there at what the Scripture is saying. Now, Jesus, now listen, the disciples were with Jesus in Matthew 6. And they go with him all the way through 18. Go a little bit further than that. Listen to what the Bible says right there and stuff. Now here they are at a point. The Bible says that they came to Jesus and said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We need to have one of our horns blowed. Now that's what they were looking for. Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Listen to what the Bible's saying there. He said, you better not be worrying about who's going to be greatest. You better be thinking about getting in. You better be thinking about getting in, because none of us was worthy of the blood that Jesus shed on an old rugged cross. None of us. And so Jesus, and this is the thing about it. I mean, and I've said this and I've told people this, talking to people, witnessing to them. and stuff. I said, Jesus is not like me. Jesus always loved. Sometimes I'm like an old drill sergeant. You know, you won't think I love you when I'm talking to you. I see my wife shaking her head. You want your phone back? But he always, regardless of what was going on, handled the situation with love. When they asked him, who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? Is it me? Is it me? What about me? Now, Lord, you know what I did. But he called, he didn't rebuke them. He called a little child. I believe he set him on his lap. Said, except you become like little children and be converted, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I've told people when he was in the temple, what about in the temple, Lee? He whipped them in the temple. I said, he whipped them with love. I believe that with all my heart. You think he whipped him, run him out, said, I'm going to send you straight to hell. He loved them. He rebuked them for what they were doing in the temple, in the house of God. For the Bible says, the Lord told them, said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Now we're talking about pride. Now we're going to look a little bit about offenses. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Now, listen to what the scripture's saying there. Now, we were talking a little bit earlier and stuff. Jesus was talking about forgiveness. And if you don't forgive, then he won't forgive. And now we're talking about offenses, and we look at these offenses and stuff that Jesus was talking about and stuff. And we talked a while ago about saying things to be hurtful and harmful that would cause people pain and suffering. Now we're still talking about offenses. We're talking about those things now. And Jesus was saying it were better for one that would offend this, that a millstone would hang about his neck and he would drown in the depth of the sea. That's something we need to think about and stuff before we open our mouth to say anything to one another, to do something to one another that would cause them to be harmed or offended in some way. Now, I'm not talking about somebody running around, got the feeling to run out on a wagon tongue, because you probably just walk by them and offend them. But I'm talking about saying something mean and cold and cruel to somebody. The Bible says, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man whom the offense cometh. It said, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. For it is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. And Brother Mike, I'm gonna stop right here. I thank you for your attention.